You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Cleveland! This is for you!
Hey guys, Evan here with another episode of Locked On Cavs. Joining me today is a coach, assistant coach from the Canton Charge, and the head coach of Cavs Legion, Austin Peterson. Austin, how are you doing today, buddy? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing great. Thank you guys for having me on the show. Big fan.
Really? I mean, so let me ask you, since you're a fan, do you listen to the Chase Dub?
I do not.
You're a number one guest in my heart, a number one fan in my heart. Don't listen. If you follow me on socially, I'm sure you do, so you know. But like I said in the opening, Austin, you are a coach with the Canton Charge, which is the Cavs G League affiliate, and I guess just to kind of give everyone at home, like, obviously this is a Cavs-centric podcast, so we don't want to seem like idiots here. We kind of speculate on what's going on with the Charge. Like, what is your history when it comes to, like, the G League and just the NBA in general?
So my personal history?
Yeah.
So I was in high school when the Cavs bought the team from New Mexico and moved them to Canton. I actually grew up in Canton. So born and raised and, played high school hoops and went to this camp that the team put on when they first moved into town. And, through getting to talk to some of the coaches that they had hired for the initial season, they were still looking for help as far as, game day operations, ball boys, stuff like that. And I actually started out year one with the team as a ball boy.
Really worked your way up.
Yeah. Started, no real inside connections. Started as a ball boy through high school. Continued working in basketball on the coaching side at Baldwin Wallace University. That's where I went up in Berea. So still staying local. And worked as a student coach for them and still kept working on more of like a volunteer basis with the Charge, just getting to know, being around the team for that many years, and expressing an interest in coaching. The staff was really open to allowing me to help in more and more ways. And, the relationship just kind of developed from there. I actually went down to the Charlotte Hornets, and I was Steve Clifford's basketball operations intern during the 2015-2016 season. So
that's awesome.
Spent a year down there working with the Hornets, really getting – that was really my first year in the video room, getting to learn the game, learn all, the ins and outs, the terminology, the defenses, the offense, scouting, just that's
yeah.
where, my biggest year of growth was. And came back to finish my degree at BW, kept working with the team, and, the last couple of years I've been a video coordinator for the team, and this was my first season as an assistant coach and the head video coordinator for the Charge. So, long history with the team, been around for most of the years that they've been in Canton in some capacity, so, I've seen it all.
No, absolutely, and, sorry if I was just kind of quipping in the background there, but, I obviously didn't know much about your background because I should have asked you beforehand, but that's awesome for real. And do you see coaching being what you want to pursue as a career long term, or do you do you see this being somewhere you want to be for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, everybody down here obviously, has certain career goals, whether that's, making it to the next level, going overseas, it's not just a league for the players' growth, but also for the staff's growth. I think that, when you talk about staff, our history as far as coaches goes, we have all of our former head coaches are in the NBA. We have a number of assistants who have been on NBA staffs and who continue to coach on NBA staffs. That's actually how I got pulled down to Charlotte. You know, the year that I was working for the team in more of an operations capacity, that head coach got hired on as an assistant in Charlotte, and you know, he brought me along with him. So the Canton Charge Network is pretty far and wide in the NBA, and that's, you know, I think that goes for a lot of G League teams. You know, you've seen the stats as far as players, you know, percentage of players that have G League experience. You know, I think that it's a relatively similar stat. I'd be interested to see what that stat is for the coaches.
Since you've been with the team so long, who is, like, because I know the Cavs in the past have used Canton as, like, a bit of a rehab opportunity for players coming back from injury, such as Isaiah Thomas. Like, who is the biggest name you've seen just come through during your time with the Charge?
Yeah, I think Isaiah is probably the biggest name. You know, that was a situation where he didn't play any games for us.
He just practiced the team, right?
Correct. Yeah, it was just a practice rehab where, you know, you see Steph Curry this season, you Santa Cruz, that'd be a good example, you know, where he's down there and it's just, you know, he's scrimmaging with the guys and practicing with the team. It's more of an injury rehab. You know, and we've also had guys play. You know, I think this season we had Dylan Windler for two games off, you know, an injury rehab where he was a first-round pick in the NBA draft and you know, someone who's expected to get some minutes up in the NBA. And I think that you just see that, you know, throughout the league. I think that the league has grown so much in the past few years, and I think that a lot of the NBA teams are starting to realize what a useful tool this is, and, you know, they're starting to trust it a little bit more, and I think that they're seeing some of the benefits of having a G League team and having a G League team that is close in proximity and also, you know, works in synergy with your NBA team. Because if you're going to use it, especially with the two-way players and these assignees, you know, you're sending guys that you have on NBA contracts down, and you have to trust the staff and the system and, you know, that everything's going to be up to code so that, or up to par, so that when they come back, they're ready to play NBA minutes potentially.
Okay. No, absolutely. And actually, I think that's a good stopping point for us because we're about to launch you a bunch of questions about players on this year's iteration of the Charge. So everyone stay tuned for more from me and Austin, and thanks for listening to Locked On Cavs. 3, 2, and we're back. I am joined by Austin Peterson again, assistant coach with the Canton Charge and head coach of Cavs Legion, the Cavaliers NBA 2K League affiliate. And like I said at the end of the last segment, Austin, just off the top, what did you see from Dylan Windler during his time with you guys down in Canton? Because obviously the Cavs fans and like Chris and I, since we covered the team, didn't really get to watch Dylan and actually saw the practice and everything. So give us a little bit of an insider's perspective on what Cavs fans should kind of expect maybe from Dylan going forward.
You know, he's a really, really smart player. You know, he's someone who was willing to come down and, you know, as a first round pick and kind of fit into what we were doing, you know, and I don't think that that's something that, you know, you always see. Sometimes you get guys who, you know, will be assigned down and they'll say, you know what, this is for my personal gain. This is, you know, my show. I'm going to take all the shots. And Dylan wasn't like that. Dylan was more than willing to buy into a system, and he was just overall, you know, a good prospect. I think that, you know, he's had some limitations with his injuries, but when he's back to his full self, I think that he would be a nice piece on an NBA floor.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of nice pieces, he didn't really get to play much. He played a little bit before the NBA season, just kind of came to a screeching halt under J.B. Bickerstaff. But talk a little bit about Dean Wade. I know when he signed with the Cavs on a two-way deal, it was a lot of people thought it was a really good signing because he went undrafted in last year's draft, and he's, by all accounts, seemed like he's been really great in Canton from what I've heard within the organization. And just kind of like, do you think he's a player that will stick with the Cavs long-term? Do you think he's a player that, like, you guys envisioned will be groomed and kind of developed within Cleveland's system to be a long-term prospect?
You know, I can't really speak on, you know, what the long-term plans are for Dean, but just, you know, getting to know Dean as a person, and as a player, you know, obviously spending a lot more time with Dean, than Dylan, you know, I can speak a little bit more to him individually. Obviously we were, one of the more successful teams this year, you know, and Dean was a very big part of that. He was an incredible mismatch, you know, when we played him at the center position. At times, I think that, you know, our on-off numbers, plus-minus numbers with him at the five were just vastly superior to any other lineup that we rolled out. And, you know, he's a good kid, he's a good worker, and, you know, he has the tools, I think, that a lot of NBA teams are kind of looking for at the next level. He can shoot it at a 40% clip. You know, he was at one, he had a good, start to the season. I think at one point in the year he was shooting above 50%, you know, from beyond the arc. And I think that's what teams are looking for. You know, we were able to play him at the four some and switch with him. We were able to play him at the five some and keep him in his pick and roll coverages. You know, he's a good rebounder. He led our team in rebounding, and he's someone who's just a worker. You know, he's in there every day, getting up his shots. He's making sure, you know, that he's at his best. And I think he did a really good job this season kind of dealing with not only transitioning from, you know, college to pros, but when you're a two-way player, it's a completely different entity. It's something that, you know, you can't really describe being a part of two teams at the same time. You know, it's one collective family, but, you know, you could be in Canton one night playing a game, and you could be, you know, in Detroit with the Cavs the next night and fly right from Detroit, you know, because unexpectedly something happened and now we need you back in Canton, but we're on the road in Westchester, you know, and that happened. And it's, it happens, you know, with every situation in the 2K or in the G League, you know, just flying around. It's crazy. And especially being a two way player, you never really know what's coming. I think he handled that really well. And I think that, you know, his numbers and our win percentage kind of, you know, prove that.
Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need to know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful business people, like leaders of companies, CEO types, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main point of a book quickly and start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you're exercising. Some of the popular books include Upheaval, Turning Points for Nations in Crisis by Jared Diamond, The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, The Secrets of Negotiating Power by Roger Dawson, and Becoming by Michelle Obama. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And again, you're going to save 25% off, but only when you use that link. So sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. That's Blinkist, Blinkist/NBA.
Yeah, it definitely speaks for itself. And I've had limited interaction with Dean whenever he's in the Cavs locker room. He's just kind of like, he's usually just, you know, talking with his teammates and stuff, and he seems like a great guy by all accounts. But, like, no, I definitely see the potential there. And like you said, like, the numbers speak for themselves, and the fact that he had such an impact on what you guys are able to do down in Canton is definitely just noticeable. And I think, and I'm sure you'd agree with this, like, he obviously is starting to make a case that he could carve out a nice role either at the highest level, at the NBA level. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so, and it kind of goes back to what I said offensively, you know, just the way the game is today, you know, teams want bigs who can shoot, teams want bigs who can switch, and teams want guys, especially, you know, for that 12th, 13th, 14th man, who aren't going to cause problems. And I think that Dean fits the mold for all of those. You know, he's someone who could, you know, get three DNPs in a row, and then something happens and you need to throw him in a game and he could knock down a big three. I think, you know, having the versatility, at least down here, to play the four and the five, you know, is intriguing for a lot of teams. You know, a lot of teams are experimenting with different lineups. You know, as you can see what's going on in Houston with, you know, how they've taken the small ball almost to a whole nother level. And I think that, you know, he's definitely an interesting prospect. And I think that, you know, he should probably get a chance at the next level.
I agree. And, you know, just kind of to pull things back a little bit, obviously, not only did the NBA season just come to a screeching halt with this whole pandemic shutdown that we're going through right now, but the G League season as well. And I guess I have to ask you personally, like, what do you miss most about the G League right now? Like, let me let you have the floor so you can just expand upon me. I know that's probably the most vague question ever, but...
No, I mean, I honestly, I miss the camaraderie. I mean, you know, when the season gets going, it's a big whirlwind, you know? I mean, you're on the road a lot, and even when you're, quote-unquote, you're home, you know, nobody's home. I'm lucky that, you know, I'm from Canton. I get to, you know, go home and see my family on holidays, and I get to, you know, what if we're in town, and, you know, I get to have my dad comes to the games and all that. But, you know, when you're in it, you're surrounded by the coaches, the trainers, and, you know, the staff that's there, and then all the players, and you really do become one big family. And I think that, you know, when that just gets taken from you, you know, abruptly like this, you know, it's hard to deal with. You know, they really do become like a family. Like, you really become one family throughout the year. And you know, I think that it's a little different. It's tough, you know, going through it a few times. It's tough, you know, when you see at the end of the calendar, okay, this is about when our season's going to end. You know, you can start, if you're not in the playoffs, you can start counting, you know, like, okay, you prepare for it. But, you know, we were in Chicago when this all happened, and we were preparing to go to Westchester and preparing to play the Knicks and preparing to contend for the title and go on a playoff run. And, you know, this was something that we had put, you know, our, you know, months of our lives into, you know, away from our families, away from, you know, our friends, having to sacrifice some stuff. Again, we were on the road for Thanksgiving and New Year's and all that. And, you know, for a goal. And I think, you know, it hurts when it gets taken from you abruptly like that. You know, not to downplay what's going on. Obviously, everything is the right thing to do, and, you know, there's more serious issues. But I think that's probably, you know, what I miss the most, is just the camaraderie and you know, the brotherhood that you develop over this time with these guys that you spend most of your time with.
No, I absolutely agree. Like, I can just tell from how passionate you are, like, that you're being for real about this, and, like, you can tell, like, the authenticity and how genuine you are about this. But hopefully it comes back soon, man. Like, it's to be decided for everyone, but yeah, we need it. Like, sports is a good escape for everyone, but especially for you, like, this is your family just being taken away from you, and that's definitely tough. But we're gonna have to wrap this segment up on that somber note, but we will talk about something a little bit more fun in the next segment, so stay tuned with Austin and I for more Locked On Cavs. 3, 2. All right, we're back for the final segment, and I'm joined again with Canton Charge assistant coach Austin Peterson and also head coach of Cavs Legion, the NBA 2K esports affiliate of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Austin, I've worked with Anthony Morocco in the past, and I'm assuming you took over the mantle as head coach for him.
Yeah. Yep. So Anthony Morocco was our GM last season, and he hired me on as a head coach, and he's currently moved on to the Vancouver Call of Duty League team. So he's running that, and now I've taken over both the GM and the head coaching responsibilities for this season.
So break it down for me, man. What is your day-to-day responsibility as both head coach and general manager of this team? Like, that's, and you're an assistant on the Canton Charge. Like, how do you sleep? How do you find time to eat? How do you find time for yourself?
Well, you know, last season was my first season, you know, with any kind of esports. I, you know, had been playing 2K, you know, online, not nearly to the level that these guys have been playing, but knew enough about the game that, you know, it made sense to kind of do a crossover as well. And the seasons lined up so perfectly that, you know, we were in our last game in Chicago last season with the G League, and I actually went and took a rental car from Chicago after our season finale, drove it to 2K League training camp, which was in Indiana. We actually did a boot camp with the Pacers team.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, the very next day. So the schedules lined up pretty well that, you know, I was able to do both. And I think that, you know, it's kind of helped me grow, you know, as a coach, kind of having a voice, you know, being the decision maker, you know, on lineups, on plays, on, you know, just everything like that. Whereas an assistant coach, you know, you give your input, but, you know, it's not all on you. So, you know, then this season obviously has been pretty crazy with the abrupt end to things. You know, a lot of what I've been doing remotely, you know, scouting players for the draft, making trades in the off season, in the 2K League off season, I was able to do throughout the G League season, you know, making sure that, you know, I'm watching film on the guys and, you know, I know I'm talking to my players that we have on rosters and making sure that, you know, I have my team and have a general vision. And now that the 2K or the G League season has kind of come to an abrupt halt, the 2K League is really kind of picking up right now. And I think, you know, I expect us to start soon, relatively soon. I don't know how soon, but I think that, you know, hopefully we can get some kind of product out there in this void, you know, this kind of void of content and void of sports, so that we can kind of get some basketball out there for everybody.
Absolutely. I guess my question is, like, how big is it for you as head coach of Cavs Legion to know the fact that, like, Dan Gilbert is heavily invested in esports as a whole? Like, he owns 100 Thieves, which I don't know if people listening know, but, like, that's a it's an all-encompassing esports team as well. But, like, how huge is it to have not only Dance just backing for Cavs Legion, but, like, the NBA is 100% committed to this product as well, and, like, they really want it to succeed. Like, how big is that for you guys?
Oh, it's incredible, and I think that, you know, Dan's done a great job backing us, and, you know, we have advantages here with the Cavs Legion DC that, you know, some other teams don't have, and, you know, we have our own facility, the Legion Lair, powered by TCP, you know, and it's a state-of-the-art facility where our players, you know, can practice on the, you know, best Alienware equipment with Alienware monitors, and, you know, they have some of the best internet available, you know, not just, you know, going to Spectrum and saying, I want the best Wi-Fi. Like, we have some of the best internet that is available.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, it's great. I mean, you really feel like you're supported here. You know, and I think I think it's good for the league to be pushing for this, especially, you know, in a time like this where, you know, you see how popular other esports leagues are. You know, you see overseas especially, you know, they're selling out 20, 30, 40,000 seat arenas where,
yes,
you know, esports is clearly something that's being consumed in a way, especially now more than ever. But I think that where 2K kind of has an advantage is there's really no barrier to entry for the viewer, right? Where if I sit my parents down and I say, here's an esports, here's a League of Legends game that's on TV, they are not going to know what's going on.
Yeah.
If I sit my parents down and I say, hey, here's a 2K league, I try to explain it to them, okay, maybe. They watch it on TV, they see the wine and gold, and they see it's five guys, and they see basketball, you know? So they can kind of understand what's going on a little bit better than some of the other esports leagues where, you know, it's a great advantage that we have.
No, absolutely. And, you know, this is actually a good segue into my next question. Obviously, the players doing this one-on-one tournament right now. Darius Garland waxed his opponent from the Phoenix Suns, and you actually held yourself pretty well. as well when you went up against the Phoenix Suns rep. Drawing a blank on his name right now, but do you think this is Bugman. A good, like, the do you think, like, the streams that, like, they're having with NBA players, like, playing 2K live, like, you can watch it on ESPN, you can watch it on Twitch, you can watch it, like, on most streaming services to begin with. Like, do you think this is a good opportunity for the league as well to help maybe market the 2K league a lot? Like, this could be a golden opportunity for you guys just, like, to seize on the opportunity where there are no sports right now, and, like, a casual, not even a casual basketball fan, but maybe somebody who isn't familiar with esports can, like, you guys could use this as an opportunity to, like, really ingratiate yourselves with the fan base and really just, like, blow up.
Yeah, I think the opportunity, you know, is being presented right now with sports and with, you know, kind of everything being put on pause right now. I think it's a great advantage that we have where, you know, we had to make a pivot, you know, as a league where traditionally we're all going to New York, playing in a studio in Long Island City. But, you know, obviously now with everything changing, we're adapting as a league to where we're playing from our own home markets. So now this is something where even though, you know, we're all, you know, kind of isolated or contained, yeah, right, to inside, it's still a good opportunity, you know, not for us just to capitalize on it, but to put a product out there, you know, that people are really craving right now in this time. And, you know, we're trying to put the best product out there. Obviously, there's been some barriers, you know, from planning to play the game in person to playing online, whether that's, you know, internet speeds for some teams, streaming capabilities, just the overall game and how it functions, you know, online versus in studio. But the league has done a great job with these pivots and, you know, with things changing every day, you know, with what's going on in the world. I think that they've done a great job doing the best that they can, trying to get a product out there that's, you know, needed and, you know, still thinking about us. They don't want to put a product out there that's, you know, not up to the quality that, you know, you would want as a professional sports league. So no, I think that R2K league, you know, Brandon Donahue, Daniel Say, Brad Ross, those guys have done a really good job just leading the charge with that. And, you know, I really hope that, and I think that we're going to be able to put some product out there soon for everybody.
I absolutely agree. And I think you guys are going to really just, I think you guys can get a big following just from all, just the league being so involved by using 2K is just kind of like a vessel to keep the fan interaction going. But did you feel any pressure when you had to rep the Cavs, when you had to go up against the Suns?
Man.
You can be 100% honest here. You can say
a little bit. I'll tell you what, I would have had a lot more pressure if Darius would have went first. He really represented well.
He smoked him.
If I would have, if that was the bar that I was going up against, I would have been much more nervous. But no, it was fun. I mean, it was, you know, relaxed. It was a good. It's just another fun way that, you know, esports and gaming in general, and I'm glad that, you know, they did it and we did it, that we can just kind of provide a distraction for a little bit, you know, to people, you know, with everything going on. I think it, you know, it's tough with sports being, you know, put on pause right now, just especially now, because that's where we go, you know, it's, you know, where we go to escape what's going on in our life. And
absolutely,
it was fun yeah, and it was a good opportunity. Happy I could represent.
Well, I'm glad you're able to pull off the dub. And speaking of Darius and even Andre, who crushed DeMarcus Cousins when they played, but do you think, none of them really have anything going on, do you think you can give them the call up if you need them for this season?
Man, it doesn't really work that way, but I wish.
No, I know.
I wish it did.
It's just, I was tuning into that Darius's game, like, here and there, and like every now and then just checking up on the score. I'm like, I thought there was something wrong when I saw how bad it was. Like, as a coach, what do you think Darius did well in that situation? What do you think he could have improved on?
I mean, when you win by that much, I don't know how much improvement you could
That's fair.
You could go off of, but he did a really good job just moving everybody, you know, on ball. He was really good defensively, and you know, he just moved that thing. He's definitely got some skill.
That's all you can ask for, right? All right, Austin, I think we're going to have to wrap this up here. And before I let you go, can you let the fine folks at home know where they can find you? And if there's anything you really want to plug, you know, obviously the 2K League being one of them, but if anything else you want to plug or share, just like, by all means, man, the floor is yours.
Yeah, just, you know, follow Cavs Legion GC on Twitch. You know, that's where we're going to be playing most of our games. There's always good content on there. Cavs Legion GC on Twitter, Instagram. You know, our content team does a really good job of putting stuff out. And even though we're not playing games right now, but they do a great job. You know, we have the best content team in the 2K League. And, you know, check us out. Hopefully we'll be playing league games very soon.
Awesome. All right, thanks again, Austin, and thank you again, everyone, for tuning in to today's episode of Locked On Cavs. Chris and I will be back soon, and hopefully Austin will be on again soon so we can actually break down how the Legion are doing at that point. So until next time, thanks again for listening, and go Cavs.